Welcome to Good Dogs, a show dedicated to helping you understand your dog better so you can live a better life together. This is one of the original Good Dog shows from many years ago, but the advice is still right on the money. Marcy Burke, I am so excited because I need to talk to you about something that I know many other people are going to benefit from. And I think it's an area that you yourself are very interested in, the whole idea of how to introduce a new dog into a household. I know that's something that's been on your mind a lot, right?
Well, it sure has been, because we've had a request by some of our Avidog students about how to do this, and we just put a paper together, how to introduce them, not just to other dogs, but to cats, gerbils, farm animals.
Wow! Yeah. Oh my God, we're going to have a ball with this. I tell you, when I first introduced my dogs to the mini donkeys that I had gotten on a lark, Mona and Lisa, a mother and daughter, oh, those dogs were out of their mind in the beginning. I could have done a better intro. Nothing bad happened. And in the end, the donkeys recognized them as their dogs and all other dogs as stranger danger. But right. Yeah, I could have used some help there. I just sort of went on my wits. I'll tell you my situation, and I think it will resonate for other people, because people often wind up saying, oh, okay, I can rehome that dog. They aren't even necessarily looking for another dog. They have one or they have two. But situations arise. And as we talk, I can go back to another one I had and hear your thoughts on that. But in this situation, it's kind of interesting. I have two females, Maisie and Wanda. And we got Wanda as a baby because Maisie doesn't like many other dogs. She just wants no part of them. She doesn't want to get aggressive. She wants to get away. And I tried a rescue of a male Weimer on her, and it was a terrible situation. The dog was actually all messed up anyway. So we get her this puppy, and the two of them are inseparable and fabulous. And now I have a tenant in the apartment above my garage who happens to be somebody with two female Weimer on hers, one of which is going to stay with his soon-to-be ex-wife, and the other one is with him. Now, the problem is that this dog, Paisley, is so alpha, and I'd love to talk about that as well. She never does anything to be alpha, but Maisie will not exit the dog door or be on our property when Maisley is outside on it. That's how much she's just, quote-unquote, scared of her. When Jazzy was alive, who was a very alpha bitch, she would stand up to her, and all of her hair would bristle, and she would actually kind of, quote-unquote, go after her. And Wanda is a little killer monster. She likes to just go after anything. She likes to, you know, kill woodchucks and kill rabbits, and acts so similarly with dogs, which is another discussion. Okay, and this dog Paisley, who brings out this scared or aggressive behavior in other dogs, depending on their temperament, she doesn't bat an eyelash. She doesn't do anything. She just exudes alpha. So, having set you up for a not so easy situation from afar, what about that situation do you have some thoughts about?
Okay. So this is a considerably different than introducing a puppy into a new home. But so the misunderstanding about alpha, everybody thinks the alpha dog is the one who is making all the noise and
That's
is the
right.
one who is, you know, got his hackles up and the whole
yes.
thing. The alpha dog is basically what you're describing as Paisley.
Yeah.
The dog is just there.
Yes.
And the other dogs say, ah, that dog is in charge. But the fact that that dog may or may not be an alpha dog may have nothing to do with why Wanda and Maisie are feeling the way they are. Likely, it's more a territorial thing, because that dog, regardless of who it is on their property. So what they may be doing is protecting their property and you from that other dog. That's a possibility. When you see dogs that are acting the way you're describing, so if I'm right, Maisie just doesn't want to be outside, period, when the dog is outside.
She acts, and this is something I've never seen her do in any other situation, as if there's a thunderstorm. She runs inside. She, quote unquote, hides, like goes under nearly a table, doesn't want to be within striking, smelling, looking distance of Paisley, scared to exit the house. And the man who owns Paisley, ironically, is one of her favorite people on earth. She will pretty much like knock him over to try and kiss and lick him. She adores him. So it's quite curious. She comes to the door. She checks to see if Paisley's in that truck. And if there's any chance he's in the truck, she just runs back. Well, run is wrong. She just slinks back in the house. So, yes, territorial. She has an issue with that, too, which we can discuss separately. This is an individual dog that gives off this vibe that – let's talk about that alpha vibe. I know it's an alpha vibe. And, by the way, the dog was spayed at 6 months. So it's not like it's some odor that's different. You know, I was wondering if that was it. She's so chill, like you hear about – the leader of the true wolf pack being. They just walk on by. They just walk on by. You did? Tell me the story.
Oh. She was a dog that everybody bowed to.
Yes.
She never raised a lip at a dog.
Yep.
She never showed any aggression. But when she walked in a room, everybody knew that that dog was in charge. We actually had a puppy in class once that was beating up on other puppies. And I brought her into the room to play, because she was wonderful with puppies. And what I mean by wonderful, it doesn't mean that she allowed puppies to beat her up. It
Correct.
Meant that if a puppy was inappropriate, she put the puppy in her place without hurting it.
Yes.
And she walked into that class, and the entire room went silent.
Cut it out!
And one of the students said, "What just happened?" And the instructor said, "The queen just walked in, and these dogs knew it." So not a word was said. Nobody knew. I mean, the instructor knew I was coming,
yes,
but nobody
yes.
else. And what usually happens when a new dog walks in the room is it gets noisier. Dogs,
yes.
And,
yes.
But these dogs just went silent. It was for a short period of time. And then we let her play with the other puppy who did the inappropriate thing, and Taylor was great and corrected him. It took two corrections, and he was done. Like, I got it, and our fear was what he would do after that. Would he redirect that to
right.
another puppy?
Right.
And he did not. He was like, I got it, I'm fine. And he ended up, and I said, find any adult dog that you can use with, you know, it doesn't have to be an
right.
alpha dog,
right.
somebody good. But as far as the alpha, you know, it may have something to do with alpha, but now that you say how much Maisie loves this tenant.
Yes.
It may have something to do with that. So one of the things that would have been ideal would be had you been able to meet the tenant somewhere else and go for a walk together.
With
so
the dog.
With that dog, yep. And you would just go out and you'd go for a walk, and where you live, likely you could let them be off.
Oh, yeah. Leash. Oh, yeah.
And the two of you, you wouldn't just stand and let them meet, which is the
No,
biggest.
We know that's the worst. That's the killer.
Right, especially on leash. And you just go for a walk. And just let them, you know, Maisie would say, oh, this is just a dog that's kind of here. Assuming, and it sounds like this dog is like that, that she'd be perfectly fine with it.
Oh, my, Maisie, yes.
Yeah, if Maisie doesn't want to have anything to do with the dog, that's okay. There are people in this world I want nothing to do with. It's okay for Maisie to say she doesn't have to be my best friend.
Oh, yes.
But you don't want to have the reaction like, uh-oh, that dog's outside. I have to go hide in the bathroom.
Exactly, which made me feel really bad for her. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Let's continue on about alpha, and we'll in our next show, we'll talk about greetings. We'll be right back after this quick word. Okay, so this is a really interesting thought, that this alpha reaction that dogs perceive could also be some reflection of their feeling about the person with the dog. Is that right? I'd never thought of that.
I don't know. You know, all
right.
we can do is observe behavior. We
right.
never know. But what I was thinking with Maisie is if she adores this person, recognizes the truck.
Yes.
And sees this other dog that she is unsure of, the relationship between those two may cause a conflict. Like, I really, really, really want to see him.
Right.
But I don't trust her, and I don't understand who she is. I don't understand why she's here. It's my property. It's my best friend. What is that other dog doing here? So to me, the best thing that you can do, whether she is, you know, she, the fact that she's an alpha dog in the true alpha sense, not meaning a lot of people think it means aggression.
No. Right. No, the owner knows that because she's actually as sweet as pie. And you know how we've often talked about, you know, no leashes, no stopping and talking, let the dogs go. And in no time, they'll be dogs again. This dog, Paisley, is a total dog. She just wants to hunt and sniff and smell. She's all about being a hunting Weimaraner kind of dog. So it's not like she's even trying to mix it up. She's like, oh, hey, how are you? But just,
hey, how are you? I got to go see what else has been on the property.
Exactly. So
I, for her, so how is Maisie about food? Does she like food?
She does, but you could not entice her outside when Paisley's outside with anything. With anything. It's quite extraordinary. And she is one of the most stable, best greeting dogs I've ever known. Because we're loose all the time only. We go on our walks that I've talked about, the, you know, like a 40, 45-minute walk that's through fields and forests. And there's paths that are cut. It's a land trust. And every so often, other dogs will come by. And there was, I was so pleased to say to the woman, hello, is that a Spinone? I love to say, oh,
very good.
Is that a Spinone? She goes, yes. And I'm like, oh, you know what? It's really idiotic between you and me to have to get like the world's rarest breed. There's lots of, but it was a cool looking dog. It's fine. Everyone should have what they want, right? So I have Wanda on a leash with the halty thing on her nose, Gentleader, because this dog, that little dog I've raised from puppyhood that's never had a bad experience, is got a greeting disorder that I don't think is ever going to be really fixed. Maisie, on the other hand, she stops at a faraway distance. No bristles go up, just still, tail still. And she really looks and watches at any dog that's around. And watches and watches and watches and makes a big circle around to the back and then sees how they greet her, whether it's nose to tail to whatever. And then leaps around a little bit, maybe to see if they want to play or just, and then she just chills and she leaves. She really knows how to greet dogs. If the dog is youthful and playful, Maisie will run like the Dickens with him or her. And it's not a question of boy or girl. So it's this one individual dog. It's just really, you know, and obviously if this were an adoption situation, we would say, don't do it. There's too many fish in the sea. That'll be a great dog for someone else, right? I mean,
right. However, it doesn't mean that it can't be salvaged. And so obviously all dog training requires management.
Yes.
And if this is a tenant that is going to be living there, if it's not able to be changed, meaning Maisie's feeling,
right,
then management is going to be the only way to deal with it. But there are things you can do to try to help her see that Paisley actually could be a fabulous person.
I see.
But it is going to require what is known as classical conditioning.
Okay.
And so what that means is, regardless of how a dog is feeling, classical condition is used to change emotion.
Okay,
and emotion,
good one,
is driving this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So an example of classical conditioning is you walk into a shelter and there's a cute little beagle sitting on the
right
floor in the back and you toss it a cookie. You come over and there's a golden who's jumping up on the pen and it's wagging its tail. You toss it a cookie. You walk by and there's a mixed breed snarling,
right,
baring its teeth at you. And what do most people do? They just walk by. They're not going to,
right,
toss a cookie to that dog. Yes, you toss that dog,
right,
a cookie.
Right.
And people say, what? You would never reward that behavior. It isn't. You're trying to change that dog's feeling so that,
yes,
if 1,000 people,
yes,
walked down that thing and every,
mm-hmm,
time a cookie came,
love
the
it,
snarling would start to disappear.
Love it.
So it's a different emotion that Maisie,
yes,
is feeling.
Yes.
And what you're going to need to do is find out what it is that rewards Maisie. And it may mean that every time Paisley is seen by Maisie, Paisley's owner then comes in and plays a game with Maisie.
Ah, yes, she would love that.
So Paisley, the presence of Paisley means that, let's say his name is Bob,
right,
that Bob walks in. So now she sees Paisley, it's like, oh, where's Bob going to be? So that emotion,
right,
becomes a positive,
nice,
emotion as opposed to a negative one. And that's a way to do it without food, because dogs that have tough emotions on this subject aren't, you know, if
they won't eat at that moment. They're not, it doesn't matter if it's a hot dog. They're not.
Exactly.
So well said. That's very important. In fact, what I'm trying to desensitize Wanda to her horrible greeting disorder, it doesn't matter what I have in my hand. And I do it because the whole point is, right, look at me, keep your distance, sit. So I've kept my distance and she's sitting, but she's still virtually trembling and staring in that direction. And if I have something to offer her, she's like, what? That's not half as interesting as the fact that I really want to chase that dog off the planet, which is right. A separate issue. All right, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to finish up on this alpha perception. It's really important that people understand it. Boy, it's as misunderstood as the word aggression. We'll be right back.
Absolutely.
So, Marcy, we started out talking about introducing a new dog into a household, but it's really more of a greeting, and it really has to do with personality clashes, if you will. How do we help people to understand? You know, there's been this terrible idea that was started, I'm even going to say back from the monks of Newskeet back in the days, the alpha role. And then Cesar Millan tried to continue that idea. So people have this idea that, ooh, alphas in wolf packs and theoretically in dolph packs, they take down other dogs to show them what's what. And we should do the same. Well, I think that's pretty antiquated thinking in terms of dog training. I hope it's antiquated. But in terms of dog-on-dog behavior, it isn't understood by people. So what are some of the important things for people to think about when they're trying to evaluate their own dog rather than judge or criticize other dogs, to understand their own dog in this regard?
I agree with you. Just so you know, the alpha role is extremely antiquated. We took it out of our puppy testing because it's unfair. But when you're looking at your own dog and trying to get an understanding of what kind of personality that dog has.
Yes.
Alpha and aggression I like to think of them as juxtaposition. Very rarely do you see, if I've ever seen one myself, an alpha dog be an aggressive dog.
Right.
They are completely separate. An alpha dog is one who is in charge of the pack. And the pack is whoever is in it. Isn't, I'm talking about the animal pack, not
right,
necessarily
right.
The people.
Yep.
People get caught up thinking they need to be the alpha.
That's right.
And I think that people need to be the leader. You don't need to be an alpha to be a leader.
Correct.
So all you need to be is the one who is in charge, but the alpha is the one within the animal pack that other dogs look to for direction. So if you have a dog that is not quite as confident as other dogs,
yes,
it will look to the alpha dog for a signal to say there's nothing to be worried about.
Mm-hmm.
So if the alpha dog is approaching something that may be scary to another dog, that alpha dog is giving off a signal to the other dog, all is right with the world, come with me. But by the same token, if another dog in the pack does something inappropriate, that alpha dog will correct. Corrections do not necessarily mean aggression. Just because it's noisy, because they may put a dog down, it does not mean aggression. That is how other dogs communicate and say, don't do it. An alpha dog may growl. It's just saying, not yours.
Right.
Or don't be doing that.
Right.
And so alpha dogs, in my experience, and it's fairly widespread, not as much as others, but I've dealt with a lot of them. They as a whole are very quiet, but
yes,
they are just dogs that other animals look to. I actually had an alpha in my house that was not a dog. It was a cat.
Oh, and my goodness.
Yes, that cat absolutely ruled the roost. And if that cat didn't want you to cross a barrier, she would lay across it. And there was not a dog in my house that
wow.
was passed by her without
That's
her
so
permission.
Cool. That is yeah. so cool. That's great. Cats rule, dogs drool. On that note, we will end, but I think it's really an important distinction, a really important one. A leader is not a harsh commandant. A leader is somebody who simply is quietly in charge. So we all need to tone it down a little. And a real alpha dog will show you how to do that. Thank you so much, Marcy.
My pleasure.